Hallo und herzlich willkommen zum Message-Podcast der LifePoint Church Stuttgart. Als Gemeinde leben wir nach der Vision, wir existieren, dass Menschen ein erfülltes Leben in Christus finden können. Wir hoffen, dass Gott durch diese Message zu dir spricht und dass du dadurch gesegnet wirst.
It's like archaeological finds and stuff, and it's always fascinating to me at how humans are. Like, we're just really human. Like, the things that matter to us matter to the people that lived 2,000 years ago. And you see it in little things like they do an excavation at one of the most famous baths in the Roman era, where the baths of Caracalla, I think that's in Rome, and they found a mosaic on the ground that said, "We are not responsible for lost or stolen items," from 2,000 years ago. So humans don't change, you know? So I think it's great when we sing hymns from our forefathers. Thank you, Chris, for that. As Robin mentioned, we are on the last part of our series on James, and we titled it Just Do It, Just Do It. Not sponsored by Nike, but we just figured, you know, it's a great statement. Just do it. And just a real brief summary of what we've covered. In the first part of the series, we looked at how faith without works is dead. That is, if you say you have faith, you should have works to show that faith is active. In the second part, we learned how words have power, that things we say actually have an effect in eternity, can have an effect in eternity, and affect the people around us. And the third, last week, we looked at the third part, which was resisting the devil so and that he will flee from you. And the missions director of Lebenshalle Mission, Dave Yazetz, was here, and he gave just a really powerful sermon on what that looks like. And so if you'd like to re-listen to these sermons, obviously we have a podcast, you can go back and listen to them. Today we want to talk about one of the pillars of any Christ follower's life, basically in your spiritual life, and that is prayer. And prayer is the one thing that each and every one of us can do directly to influence world events. Like, I think it's interesting, we live in a democracy, and that is a great privilege. As Churchill said, it's the best of the worst systems out there. So we live in the tension of the imperfection of our political systems. And the thing that I think people like about it is they feel like their vote can move something. But our prayers can move more. Our prayers are way more powerful than a vote, are way more powerful than an act, if we go out and do an action, some kind of protest, way more powerful than any of that. And we're going to look into what that should look like in our life. But before we do, I want to give a little example of what prayer can do. I have a picture up here. If you can, this is the Missionsberg in Liebenzell, in Bad Liebenzell, the headquarters of the Liebenzeller Mission, and it's called the Missionsberg because it's the Mission Mountain, and it's the headquarters of the mission. Now, how did it end up in this tiny little town, an unremarkable town, really, on the edge of the Black Forest? If you want to be a mission organization, why don't you go to a big city like Berlin or Frankfurt? Indeed, Liebenzeller Mission, when it was in the process of being founded, they were looking at Hamburg as their seat. But they did not count on a little lady named Lena Stahl. There's a picture of her. This lady. Now, Liebenzeller Mission was founded in 1899, and this lady, Lena Stahl, by the way, Stahl means steel, and she kind of looks like a lady made out of steel. Hard person, you can tell. Germans are hardy. Anyway, she had a vision to have Liebenzell be a center of missions for the world. She had this vision that she wanted Liebenzell to become a fire-spewing mountain. It would spew fire into the entire world. That was her prayer. And she prayed and prayed. She prayed for 10 years. And finally, the founder of Liebenzeller Mission, I don't have a picture of him, but his name is Heinrich Körper, he ended up hearing about this property in this little tiny town on the edge of the Black Forest, and he went down and looked at it and said yes. And that's how Liebenzeller Mission came to be. And exactly what Lena Stahl prayed has come to be. Liebenzeller Mission has sent missionaries out into the entire world, hundreds of them, for over 125 years. So prayer makes a difference. One little lady's prayer in the wood in the Black Forest in Germany has brought the gospel to probably tens of thousands of people around the world. So prayer makes a difference. So that's a great thing to know, but I want to get to the basics. And the first thing we're going to ask is, what is prayer? What exactly is prayer? We hear this a lot, and this might sound like a very simple question, but it's actually a good question, because in the context we lived in for many years, I was a church planter in Turkey for almost 12 years. This was an issue that people came up against a lot. What is prayer? Because in a Muslim context, prayer is different. Prayer is traditional. Prayer is ritual. You do a ritual, that's prayer. Namaz kılmak, as we say in Turkish, right? But that's not what prayer actually is. What is prayer? Well, simply, prayer is communicating or talking to God. That's what prayer is you're supposed to talk to God. It's not, because in a traditional sense, prayer is kind of like, it's almost like a spell. If I pray the Ave Maria or whatever, then I'm going to be protected. But actually, prayer at the root of it is talking to God. How do we talk to God? We talk to God in certain ways. We talk to him silently, that is, you can pray internally, pray with him internally. You can pray out loud, saying the words that you're thinking and talking to God about out loud. You can pray individually, just you. Or you can pray collectively, in a group with others present. That is how we can communicate with God. But we basically tell him what's on our heart. We tell him what we're thinking. We tell him what we're worried about. And there's types of prayer. There's prayers of praise, where we thank him, where we exalt him. There's prayers of intercession, where we see an issue in somebody's life. We pray for that person. There's a prayer of confession, when we realize we've done something wrong and we need to bring this to the Lord, and we confess, we say what we've done wrong to him. There's obviously the prayer of salvation, where we ask Jesus to come into our heart. That's a very important prayer. And there's also the prayer of blessing, which is a wonderful prayer. When you get to pray a prayer of blessing over people, you get to speak prophecy over them through prayer. Prayer is powerful, and it's an essential part of our relationship to God. And it's also, as said, the way we enter into a relationship with him. If we don't pray the prayer of salvation, we do not have a relationship with God. And it is, not only is it the beginning point of our relationship to God, it is how we maintain our relationship to God. It doesn't stop after we've prayed the salvation prayer. And the fact of the matter is, if anyone who claims to be a Christ follower, a Christian, but has no prayer life, they will have a weak faith. They will not have strength in their faith, and they will have a very loose connection to God. They'll be on level one. They'll stay level, but they're not going to grow any deeper in their walk with God because they're not talking to him. You can't be married to somebody. Who's married in this room? How many would you agree that you can't marry somebody and not communicate with them? Then they're basically your roommate, right? They're not really your spouse. You have to communicate in order to have an intimate relationship with somebody. We're going to look at a couple of verses from James that talk about prayer. James was the brother of Jesus, very direct guy. He might have been German, I don't know. But he's like, what he says is like on the nose, and it's kind of like no nonsense. Boom, he just says it. So we're going to look at what he says about prayer. So you can follow along with me on the screen. We have a couple verses up here. It says in James chapter 5, are any of you suffering hardships? You should pray. Are any of you happy? You should sing praises. Are any of you sick? You should call for the elders of the church to come and pray over you, anointing you with oil in the name of the Lord. Such a prayer offered in faith will heal the sick, and the Lord will make you well. And if you have committed any sins, you will be forgiven. Confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results. Elijah was a human as we are, and yet when he prayed earnestly that no rain would fall, none fell for 3.5 years. Then when he prayed again, the sky sent down rain and the earth began to yield its crops. Amen. So, based on what James is saying here, when should we pray? Well, it says it very clearly here, when we are suffering hardships, when you have an issue in your life that is giving you a hard time, when you bring this to the Lord. You say, God, I'm having a hard time. I'm really worried about this. I don't know how it's going to continue. You bring the burden to him. You share the burden with him, and he listens. The second thing is, you should pray when you are happy. When you're joyful about something, you thank God for what's happened. You praise him. You express your joy. You don't keep it bottled up. You express it to him. And this is where the prayer of praise comes, where the prayer of thanksgiving. Thank you, Lord, for what you've done. Great is your name. Thank you for this blessing. I'm so grateful. And that prayer of praise reflects off of us onto other people. James goes on to say that we should also pray when we are sick. This is a very timely piece of advice because a lot of people are sick right now. One of them is my son. But we need to pray when we are sick. Go to the doctor, take your medication, but also pray. And another cool thing here, as James says, is if you are sick, you can call for the elders of the church, people that have a role of responsibility in church. You can ask them to come and pray for you, and they can anoint you with oil. And this might sound weird, but this is a blessing. And even if nothing happens in that moment, just them coming and praying for you does something to your heart. And the Bible says a worrisome heart can make the body sick, basically. I'm paraphrasing the proverb. But if your heart isn't right, if your mind isn't right, it can make your entire body sick. And therefore, if you pray, if you allow them to touch your heart, if you allow them to touch your mind, that can have a physical effect on your body. That's why it's important to ask people to pray for you and for you to pray for others, because it does have an effect. And we also see in this example the power of collective prayer. When many people pray together for one subject, we see the power in this verse. It's important to come together in prayer. It's a unifying force. And finally, how should we pray? I don't have a verse for this, but we should pray without ceasing, as it says in 1 Thessalonians 5:16. Pray all the time. Pray all the time for everything. You know, it sounds silly, but sometimes when I'm in a parking lot, I'm like, oh God, please give me a parking lot. A parking spot, right? So that might sound silly at first, but it's okay. God sees everything. He's with you. He wants to help you, and he wants to provide these things for you. Now, how should we pray? First and foremost, we should pray with faith. What does James say? The earnest prayer of a righteous person. Earnestness means you believe in what you're praying. You believe that the person you're praying to can move on your behalf. That's what this means. And we see it in Hebrews 11:1, one of my favorite verses says, faith shows the reality of what we hope for. It is the evidence of things we cannot yet see. Faith is seeing what is not seen. Faith is having a vision for the unseen. Faith is believing God can move to make that thing happen. It's trusting God. And here's the deal. It's trusting God regardless of the outcome. You trust God even if the exact prayer you prayed doesn't come to pass. Because sometimes there's a different way. Sometimes he doesn't answer the prayer that way for a reason. He has a better answer, or he knows that answer is not going to bring what you're looking for. And here's the other thing. Sometimes when we pray for people to get better, they don't. Because it's not always about healing in the moment. It's about the journey. And suffering is not meaningless in God's economy. Suffering is never meaningless. Suffering builds character. Suffering builds strength. And when we gain that, we can pass that strength on to other people. Suffering is not meaningless in God's economy. And the best part is, death is not the end. If somebody you know is dying of cancer, but they're a follower of Christ and they're suffering, they are writing a beautiful song for other people to see. And when they pass into glory, they are healed. They live forever. That is the beauty of trusting in God, is we can see beyond the veil of this world. And prayer is the way we can show each other the way. The other thing we need to pray is, how should we pray? We should pray with honesty. It says in James, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. We need to pray with honesty. It talks specifically about confessing our sins. In Galatians, it says we need to carry each other's weight, each other's burdens, and this is one way we can do it. Now, what is confessing each other's sins mean? Sin, real briefly, is a failure to live up to God's standard. That's what sin is. God has a standard, and if we don't live up to that standard, we have sinned. We have not achieved the standard. And all of us have sinned. Every single one of us has sinned. Every single one of us has not made the standard. And either it's by accident, sometimes it just happens. I was a mistake. I missed the mark. But sometimes it's also on purpose. And we want to talk about the things that are on purpose. The things that are on purpose, that's the dangerous stuff. Okay, that's the stuff that can get us involved in being bound. And that's why we need to work on doing repentance. That's what James is talking about, confessing our sins to one another. Repentance is a turning away from a sinful habit or lifestyle, saying, I'm not going to do that anymore. That's what repentance is. And to decide to live as much as we can as God has called us to live. What this means is we live a holy life. What does holiness mean? Holiness means we do not live like the world. We don't live according to the values of the world. We don't allow the world's cultural values to influence our faith values. If the world says, the sky is green, we're not going to start saying, oh yes, the sky is green too. We're going to say the sky is blue because that's what God has created the sky to be. That is what it's talking about as a very simple example. We don't let cultural trends define what we teach, how we live out our life, what we do in church. We do not allow that. This is a very important subject because in our day and age, as you all have known, the whole idea of sexual freedom has come to a point that is inescapable. Everything we look at, I think it's all over the place in media. And Paul writes in Ephesians 5:3, he says, but among you, there must not even be a hint of sexual immorality or any kind of impurity or greed. It's not just sexual, it's about greed too, because these are improper for God's holy people. To not have any hint of sexual immorality, any kind of impurity, lying, greed, a desire to be rich. No, we don't. We're called to live in a different way. We're called to live out a holy lifestyle that is seen. This doesn't mean that we're going to go become monks or be very like frugal or anything. That's not what it means. It just means these are things that don't define our character. These are things that people look at our life and say, oh, they have this kind of lifestyle. They know we're different because our lifestyle is according to the holy standards of God. Now, why is this important to God? Especially, why does Paul say not even a hint of sexual immorality? Why is this important to God? Well, it says in 1 Corinthians 6:18, flee from sexual immorality. All other sins a person commits are outside the body, but whoever sins sexually sins against their own body. It's a level of effect that you can't escape. It goes into your very physical being. That's why God says, don't mess with this. I want you to be healthy. I want you to be free. I want you to be able to have a healthy, good relationship with the person that I've chosen for you or that you choose to be with, that you have a healthy relationship with each other. That's why he says, flee from this. And the world, what is the world telling us? No, do whatever you want. Enjoy the pleasure. It's all about you. Live in the moment. This is not what the holy person, a holy people is called to be like. Okay, we are called to live a holy life. And I will say this, God can and does heal from sexual sin. But we don't have to let our past mistakes define our future. However, don't mess with fire. It's not worth it. Okay, that's one of the main sins that I feel we need to be confessing to each other in the proper context in our day and age, right? You don't just go out and confess to everybody, but you have to have a trustworthy person in your church to say, hey, this, if you're really struggling with something like this, but get this off your chest. Allow God to heal you. We need to confess each other's sins in order to be healed. Now, that's what the next point I want to come to. Is what are the results of this kind of prayer? Well, the first thing is obviously healing. Healing starts with your soul and your heart. You get a freedom from guilt, really? Like you really get a freedom from guilt when you are experiencing your healing. You have interpersonal healing when there's a broken relationship God can heal that relationship. I think that's the worst kind of pain, really, is when you lose a relationship. That's the worst kind of pain. And God can heal that. He can restore relationships. He can allow you to forgive and not carry the burden of dealing with that pain. He can heal our body, physical healing. And he can even heal bodies that are paralyzed or half functional if he wants to. He can restore our time lost in sickness. God can heal. That's what this prayer does. And as the prayer heals, we see the power in prayer, because prayer gives us authority over spiritual beings through God, through the Holy Spirit. And we can see that in results. The example that James used is Elijah. Now, we all know, anybody that's read the Bible knows that Elijah is one of the most OP prophets out there. He's OP, man. This guy, he did everything, you know. He raised the dead. He called down fire on an altar. He outran a chariot. The guy is OP, okay? But what does James say? Elijah was a human like you and me. He wasn't Superman. He wasn't Iron Man. He was a dude like you and me. And all he did was pray. And that's why he had power. Isn't that cool? It means we can have that power too. Not that I'm saying, oh, we should all have that power. We already have that power. If you're a Christ follower, you have that power. But you need to use that power. Dietrich Bonhoeffer said it best when he said, the strength of humanity is prayer. Die Kraft des Menschen ist das Gebet. I think it summed up best. If you want to move something in the world, as James says, we need to pray. Now, what is the conclusion here? First is, prayer is an essential part of any living faith. Okay, it is foundational to having a vibrant connection to God. It is what displays the power of God in our world. That's what prayer is. When we pray, things happen. We pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and things happen. Not because we're powerful, but we're praying to a powerful God who listens to his children. That's why it's powerful. However, prayer needs to be done in the right way, right? Prayer needs to be done in the right way. We cannot let unrepentant sin in our life block the effectiveness of the prayers we want to pray to God. When we do not deal with unrepentant sin in our lives, we can no longer hear God. That's a fact. We can't hear him because we have something that's blocking the radio frequencies. And oftentimes, God will stop moving on our behalf if he knows we have unrepentant sin in our life. We see that in the Bible. One example is Saul. King Saul, if you've read anything in the Old Testament, King Saul was chosen by God to lead the people of Israel, but he did not follow. He did not live according to the desires of God. That's what it says. And what happened there is that God removed him and didn't talk to him anymore. He prayed to God, but God did not give him an answer because his heart wasn't right. And this shows that the interesting thing is prayer can be blocked. Our prayers can be blocked through sin. As said, it can be a hidden sin. It can be that we have a double life. This is, you know, what a double life is we're relying on something other than God to give us meaning in life. That's what a double life is. If you're hiding it, you say, oh, this is my secret. Nobody sees it, but I need this. That's very dangerous. This can involve addiction. It can involve the P word, pornography. Can involve drugs. It can involve materialism. It can involve emotional manipulation. But if you have a secret life, and you're wondering why things aren't happening in your prayer life, there's probably a reason for it. You're hiding something, and you're ashamed of something. That needs to come to light. That needs to be excised. That needs to be cut out in order for the prayers to have effect again. Or it can be a known sin. Making excuses to ourselves for not being able to overcome it. Known sin, I would say, is something like a temper, an out-of-control temper. I'm always angry. I'm always angry, and you basically say, I can't help it. We can't help it. It can be a physical dependence on something. Even exercise can become a physical dependence, right? If there's something that is giving us a sense of worth on a deep level other than God, that's a problem. It can also be an emotional dependence. It can be a codependent relationship where you're in a relationship with somebody and that person basically is your idol. Like what that person says, what that person does, what that person wants determines everything you do. That's a codependent relationship. That's not how God has meant us to live. If we are looking, trying to get our worth from somebody other than God, that can be a potential prayer blocker, right? Other bad habits, lying, that's a habit. Worrying, constantly worrying about things, that's fear. And I would say something that we see more and more, especially in social media circles, is the N-word. Have you guys heard of the N-word? Narcissism. Yeah, that's like all over social media. Oh, there's a narcissist. But it's true. It's like people are very in love with themselves. And if you're very in love with yourself, that's a block. That can be a potential block in your prayer life. So if you're praying and you're saying, why aren't things moving? It's a great opportunity to say, to do a little self-reflection. Okay, and just say, what is there anything in my life that is blocking my prayer? Which brings me to the action points. What do we do with this knowledge? The first is, oh wait, did I have a verse here? Yeah, no, first we go to the action points. We want to just do it. First of all, the first step is start praying. What this means is you need to make time for prayer. Prayer just doesn't happen on its own. Prayer just doesn't happen where you're like, boom, now I'm suddenly praying. It's a habit we have to cultivate. It's you pray when things are going well, as James said, but you also pray when you're having difficulty. And this verse here that I think was up on the screen is called an arrow prayer. Has anybody ever heard of an arrow prayer? Anybody? Okay. This comes from the story of Nehemiah. How many know who Nehemiah was? He rebuilt the walls of Jerusalem after it was destroyed by the Persian Empire. And he was a high-ranking official in the Persian government, and he was faced with an opportunity to talk to the king, who was almost godlike, revered godlike. He had the power of life and death. And if he said the wrong thing in the presence of the Persian king, he could get rid of you for no reason if he just didn't like you. So Nehemiah is faced with an opportunity to ask for help to rebuild the capital of his nation. And he does this before he talks to the king. It says in Nehemiah 2:4, the king asked, well, how can I help you? And it says, with a prayer to God of heaven. That's what Nehemiah did. He prayed inside and said, God, give me the words to say. And then he said it. And guess what? The king moved on behalf of Nehemiah's wishes. So we can make these little arrow prayers. If you're in a moment where you need help, pray in that moment, just immediately, inside. It doesn't have to be big. Lord, just give me wisdom. Lord, that I pray that a lot, actually. So just help me. Give me wisdom. What should I do? I don't know. And he helps. He comes and helps. Even if it's something like, I've lost something, I'm looking for it, help me to know where to look. That's a totally valid prayer. He'll hear that. The second thing is we need to confess our sins to each other. In Psalms 139, verse 23 through 24, it says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. Point out anything in me that offends you and lead me along the paths of everlasting life. As said, we need to do a regular heart check. Even if we don't feel like there's anything in our life, we don't want to have anything blocking our prayer life, right? You don't want to have anything blocking our connection to God. So just to do a regular heart check, you can do that in your quiet time. You can do it when you're sitting on the train, looking out the window. That's a time to put the phone away. Just sit around and enjoy the moment with God as you have a moment of quiet. You can also do that in a safe environment. In our church, we like to cultivate small groups, where during the week people meet and they can talk about spiritual issues, personal struggles, and support each other. That's a great time if you're in an environment that is trustable, that is trustworthy, that you can talk about these kind of struggles, that we do a regular heart check with each other. And that leads me to the final thing, which is to intercede for one another. That is, we want to start actively using our power in prayer to pray for each other. We want to pray out loud for each other in a group. Oftentimes I see this. People say, I don't want to pray out loud in a group because it doesn't sound good. That's not what prayer is meant to be. Prayer is not meant to be poetic. Prayer is meant to be honest. And when we're praying in a group, we're not praying to each other. We're praying to God. And just talk to God. And the other people have a privilege to listen to your conversation with God. And that conversation is meant to bless you. That's why we try to encourage people to pray in groups out loud. Nobody's going to give you a grade on how nice your prayer is. Das war eine Eins or whatever. No, that's not going to happen. We are just going to sit there and listen to each other, because when you talk to God, you hear what's on people's hearts, and that moves each other. Intercede for one another in the group and make it a habit, as said. Make it a habit not only to pray in a group, make it a habit to pray regularly, individually, as it says in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. Pray about everything. When I was a young man, this movie came out called Memphis Belle, and it's a war movie, but it's about this bomber that is on its final mission over Germany, and there's a scene in it where there's a new bomber in the bombing group, and one of the radio men in this bomber radios to the Memphis Belle, this old bomber, and says, what messages do I write down on the frequency that I hear? And the bomber from the radio man from the Memphis Belle says, write everything down at first, but then you'll figure out what is important. And that's exactly how we need to do our prayers. Pray about everything. And then eventually you start to figure out what's really important. But pray about everything. Pray without ceasing. And don't give up, even if you don't see the results right away. Don't give up, because it's about the journey. It's not about the results. It's about the journey. God's ultimate desire is to change you through prayer. He wants you to grow through prayer. He wants you to grow in maturity in prayer. That's the purpose of prayer. As I'm in conversation with God, I'm walking with him, and he's telling me things, he's showing me things, and I'm getting rid of things. And just step by step, doing this results in big things. I have one of my favorite proverbs is the Turkish proverb that goes, damla ya damla ya göl olur, which means a lake is formed drop by drop, right? And this is a wonderful picture of how doing something little over a regular and consistent basis results in big results. The world is won step by step, not by suddenly somebody leaps. And if you see somebody successful in life, I guarantee you that's the 10% of the iceberg that you see over the water. There's a 90% beneath the water surface that is all the hard work, all the mundane work that they did. And that's what prayer is like. Do the mundane work. As we pray, we become more like Christ, because the best example of a praying man was Christ himself. It says he would get up early in the morning and go to an isolated place to pray to the Father. And what did that result in him? That was his secret. That was Jesus' secret. He spent time with the Father. And what did he do? What came out of that time? Well, he was able to preach with ultimate authority and with wisdom. He was able to heal the sick. He was able to bless people. He was able to raise the dead. And he gave many people hope and a new start. I'm not saying that each of us is going to be like some huge miracle worker, but you can have an effect like that on people if you spend time regularly in prayer and doing these things that James talks about, praying when you're in hardships, praying when you're happy, praying when you're sick, confessing your sins to one another. If we do these things, we will see amazing things happen in our life. Jesus prayed to the Father a lot. And that to me is probably the one thing, if you can remember from this sermon, it's that. Jesus prayed to the Father a lot. And prayer is your and my spiritual shield and spiritual weapon that can move the world. Each of us is a world changer because we can pray to the God who created the world. Use that power. use it well, you can change the world. God bless you.
Wow, was für eine Message. Wir hoffen, dass dieses Wort zu dir gesprochen hat und dich durch den Tag und die kommende Woche begleiten wird. Wenn du mit uns in Kontakt treten möchtest, kannst du gerne auf unsere Website und Social Media vorbeischauen. Bis zum nächsten Mal. Sei gesegnet.